Okay, open the book of Amos. The book of Amos. The prophet from Tekoa. Not a lot is known by it about him. Except that we know that he is prophesying in a time in which the two kingdoms are divided and prospering. Divided. Yet prospering. Did I say divided? Yet prospering. Blessed, but no God. They've excluded God out of their life, their lives. They're in a dangerous position. But as usual, God's got a ram in the bush. And now we look at and examine the personality of a prophet called Amos. And we ask ourselves, what is it that we can learn from Amos that would be pertinent to us today? Well, our writers of the Sunday school lesson and a national Sunday school lesson certainly aware of Amos's credentials and knew what we were going to talk about next week and the week after, and knew that so far what they have told you is that God called some prophets. He called Moses for a very tough assignment. Moses wanted to wimp out and cry and use his handkerchief of head and talking about he couldn't talk, and God called him anyway and sent him and did powerful things through him. He called Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah saw himself and also the Lord. But he saw the Lord and himself, and which was a stark reminder to us that you really can't do this work of ministry until you really know who God is, so that you know who you really aren't. And then we looked at a crybaby named Jeremiah, who God knew from the time that he formed him in his mother's womb. And Jeremiah was told that he would have a tough assignment, and found out that he did have a tough assignment. And he cried the whole day through, and to the point of refusing to work. I ain't gonna preach no more. But then he found out that the word of God, once sealed in your mouth, is shut up in your bones, and it's like fire. And you don't want no fire shut up in your bones. And then we went down and visited a psychedelic prophet by the name of Ezekiel, who saw a wheel in the middle of the wheel and saw a valley of dry bones, and who did not mind just bringing it, but was really out of this world. In terms of visions, but God used him. And then there was this guy, Amos, a guy who, as I said earlier, called while everything is going good. And I'm going to tell you, the most difficult time to minister to folk is when things are going well, when everybody's got it going on, when they get their bank accounts right, they're living in the right neighborhood, kids going to the right school, making the right grades, they belong to the right sororities and fraternities. Oh, this is some difficult people. You think your brother had a hard time going back witnessing the folk that knew him. Try witnessing the folk that got it going on. And it's tough. Because what happens in today's society, as well as what was happening then, we have a chaotic culture. Yes, I said it. And we have a complicit church. We have a culture that is going to hell in a handbasket. We have a culture that don't know which way is up. We have a culture that doesn't even know what bathroom to use. We're in a confused, tremendously confused time in the history of this country, this society, this world. And the church, for for the most part, Nick, is remaining silent. Yeah, I said it. This morning is not going to be pretty, because the call of Amos reminds us that there are some tough challenges to accepting your call, because things are well. Things are fine. People don't need God if they're making their own ends meet. And people don't care what they do. Here's a kingdom run by a spiritual thug. And I'm going to say both of them, because Jeroboam, we know he was. And the guys that followed Uzziah were no better. Tough. But yet, there were more prophets during this time than in any time in the history of the world. They almost rivaled today's time. Prophets. They had schools of prophets. All kinds of prophets. But here in the northern kingdom, they are worshiping golden calves. Now, the last time I checked, I thought y'all left that stuff in the desert. I thought Moses came down and cracked a couple of skulls because of that. But here they're doing it. And we got people running around talking about they prophets. And as long as you're telling folk what they want to hear, they'll listen to you. You'll fill a Sunday school class when you're telling folk what they want to hear. You'll fill a church pew when you're telling people what they want to hear. But I'm here to tell you that society is so messed up today. We've got most churches in America are no longer preaching the unadulterated, pure word of God. They're not doing it. They're telling you, you know, you can claim it and jam it and clam it and fram it. And, you know, you can, this prosperity preaching. But what thus says the Lord? And any time any of you accept your call, you can expect obstacles to your call. And that's what I'm going to look at there. That's what Amos does for us this morning. He shows us the very obstacles that you can have. Now, for six chapters, this guy has been jamming. He's been wearing them out. Vision after vision. He started with the non-Jews, the nations of the world, Damascus, Syria. He went on through them, about six of them, before he even got to Judah and the northern kingdom. And he tells them in chapter 7, it's almost like he's taking a breath. Oh, by the way, let me tell you a little pretty story. Let me tell you how I accepted my call. Let me tell you what happened to me when I accepted my call. Because what happened to Amos is happening in America today. Oh, well, let's go see. Let's see if we can just pick it out. Some of the obstacles that you'll have when you accept your call. Ah, it's amazing, that call thing. See, Deacon Newsom has arrived. We can get Sunday school started now. Told you I was going to talk about call. Call is very important, but call will give you some obstacles, and what you do with those obstacles, you must overcome those obstacles if you're going to be effective. Verse 10, chapter 7. Let's see if I'm right. Tell me you're kidding. Tell me you read the wrong verse. Please tell me you read the wrong verse. I know a fellow priest, a fellow prophet, a fellow preacher is ratting out to the king. A fellow preacher? Mailmen have a creed. Anybody know what it is? Sister Clarice here? Huh? Through what? What? That you will make your appointed rounds. In other words, ain't nothing stopping the mail. It ain't nothing stopping the mail. Don't beat me up, Sister Clarice. Ain't nothing stopping the mail. That's their creed. When God calls you in the ministry, his expectation is that ain't no stopping you now. And you know how I know? Because you have a creed too. We call it in evangelism the agenda. Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be witnesses in where? Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. In that it tells you where you're going to be a disciple and how you're going to be a disciple and upon whose power you're going to use. In other words, ain't no stopping you. But after Nikita Amos has been charged to go out and call, and he done preached a little bit, they sent him up to Bethel. House of God, by the way, Bethel. And as a matter of fact, the prophets of old had a little thing. They used to use a lot of sarcasm when they talked about Bethel. And instead of calling it Bethel, house of God, they call it Bethaven, which means house of unrighteousness. Say, yeah, you're a house of God, all right. House of unrighteousness. House of ill repute is what they were, because they were a bunch of spiritual miscreants in the city, falling into idolatry. And here, Amos, Steve, Amos goes up. I can identify with Amos, because I know, let me tell you one thing. When you're an outsider rich and you start coming up in the church, you talking about you got your car, you got your little certificate, you got your teaching certificate, and you're going to teach somebody, you're going to teach a bunch of stiff-necked Baptists, you know. You're going to receive personal accusations. Because that's the way the world is, Jim. First, they don't have any argument against the gospel. When if you are equipped with the gospel, that's why we want you to know the gospel. When you are equipped with the gospel, they can't mess with you. So what they do, they make it personal. Here he calls the king and says, this boy is conspiring against you. Do you realize he has jeopardized this man's life? He told the king that this boy is conspiring to kill you. You're going to face those kind of accusations. You're trying to do your call, and people out there, they can't touch, they can't touch this. So they touch you in personal attacks. They try to bring you down. They attack the person. Oh, he ain't all that. I don't like going to his class. You got to be so animated, personified. It don't take all that. I done heard it. But I know one thing. It was a call. And if God called you, it doesn't matter what they say. Just know that it ain't going to be daisies. Oh, I got my call now. I got my call. I got my license. I've been ordained. Oh, I'm going to do my thing. And then people say, where you come from? You got to understand, he's prophesying, Nick, to the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom were snooty snobs because they were rich, because they were did have it going on. Brother Amos was from the country. He was a herdsman. He was a fruit farmer. And here this fruit farmer, herdsman, come walking up, probably had on overalls and probably dung was still on his sandals. He don't walk up to Bethel in this bourgeois shirt church And the man sees him, you know, Brother Amaziah here. Hey, come on up, preacher man, prophet. And he said, whoa. Yeah, you know, God's going to prosper you. Oh, yeah, follow, follow. Ooh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Give God praise. Oh, praise the Lord. God's going to send you straight to hell for what you've been doing. All of a sudden, oh, who is this? Called the king on him. Reported him. Could have cost him his life. But not only that, you not only get the personal accusations, you'll get a lot of misrepresentation of what you said. Oh, folks, you don't know how personal this is. You know, people will say, you said something. But read verse 11. Y'all think, act like I didn't read the Sunday school lesson. Verse 11, what does it say? Now, wait a minute. Y'all read. I know y'all said. For thus said Amos. Isn't that what you read? So that means that what? Who said it?
Amos.
Okay. Go ahead. You smart. All you got to do is read yourself. That ain't what he said. He didn't say that. But people will take you out of context. They'll scrutinize every little word. They'll call you up 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon when you're trying to get your good gospel sleep on to question you about something that you said in Sunday school. I'll call you up at 12 midnight on a Tuesday night in a fall campaign to question you about something that you said in evangelism. And the thing about it is that you run the tape. I don't have to get the calls now. All you got to do is listen to the podcast. But people will intentionally, sis, they'll intentionally misrepresent what you say when you got a call. He didn't say that. But now this fellow preacher, priest, professional priest, I want y'all to keep that in mind because it goes right in line with what I got to say next. Because y'all didn't like the fact that I said the culture is chaotic and the church is complacent. You see, this priest, Amaziah, was perfectly comfortable over there in Bethel talking about the golden calf and how prosperity had come to the nation. They loved his sermon. They feel the house because he's preaching what they want to hear. They're preaching that God's been good to you. God's going to take care of you. Yeah, God has been good to you. And God will take care of you. But you know what? God will deal with the consequences of your disobedience also. And that needs to be said. One without the other. You know, you guys, you know, you talk about J. Vincent Peale. Y'all remember him? Y'all ain't old enough. Okay, all right. Well, he predated Joel Osteen, Power of Positive Thinking. Okay, and as long as you preaching that kind of stuff, people show up. But you come to a Sunday school class where you're going to hear the truth, the raw truth, what thus says the Lord. You're going to get opposition, personal, and people will misrepresent what you said. Verse 12. What does verse 12 say? I'm mad now. I'm telling you, I had to read this a couple of times again. Because I realized, see, some stuff you read in your lifetime and you haven't yet experienced. But I'm like my grandmother and Reverend Shepherd down at Savannah. Just keep on living. Because one day this stuff is going to mean something. And it means something. Because here's what he's saying. Look here, seer. Notice what he called him? Look here, seer. And now, in other words, wait a minute. We don't want you preaching that up here. We don't preach that here at Bethel. We don't preach that. You know, and we like our preachers to be professional prophets. We like for our priests to have credentials. You ain't got the right credential. So skedaddle. Pulpit closed to you. Classroom closed to you because you don't have the professional credentials. But let me tell you something, folks. Y'all know I believe in preparedness. Because if you don't prepare, you're really preparing to fail. You got to be equipped. Believe that. Believe you got to have all the credentials in the world. But let me tell you one thing. You might have credentials, but if you ain't got courage, you can't handle this word of God. If you can't be willing to stand flat-footed and preach what thus says the Lord. See, a lot of people got professional credentials, but they ain't got no courage. A lot of people got all the letters after their name, and but they ain't got no character. They're professional, but they ain't got no character. They're professional, but they're politically expedient. They only preach what the government says that they can preach. Right. Y'all don't hear me. They stand in their pulpit week in and week out and delude you into believing that everything is going to be all right. That you're okay and I'm okay and we're just okay with the world. No, we are not okay. Because the word is clear. There is none, not one of you righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Woe unto you, man with a foul mouth. Woe unto you, whoremonger. Woe unto you who want to do your own thing, who forsake the assembly of the saints. They ain't going to preach that. Not in no bourgeois church.
Right.
And how, you know how I know? He says right here, you ain't got no credentials. Why don't you go back home? You ain't got no professional license. Who called you anyway? Because that's what they do. When you're preaching something that they don't want to hear, the first thing they want to do is examine your record. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm speaking to every individual that's in here. If you know that God has called you, you better get up off your duff and respond to that call and not worry about the obstacles. Because you're going to get them. You can sit back and say, to preach out there at Resurrection, I got to have a degree in this and a degree in it. You ain't got to have what you need? You need a BA. You need to be born again. And if you're born again, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do those things that will equip you to effectively carry the message that God has given you. Because who God calls, he equips. Y'all don't believe me. But the word is right there. They'll reject you. They'll tell you to go back home. They'll tell you, go eat bread there. See, and the reason why that in itself, it looks like they're just trying to say, hey, you know, you're out of your league. But see, imagine who they're talking to. They're talking to a guy, big old farmer. Overalls, herding sheep, fruit. And didn't go to their seminary. And they've heard about all the other prophets that are running around making a living. So you go make your living. Go back home and eat there. your people back there, you can't preach that in Bethel, but back, you know, maybe back in Shirts, they'll give you an honorarium every now and then. And by the way, you don't have to go home, but you got to leave here. You ain't preaching up in here. This priest, this professional clown is telling him that you will not prophesy here. You ain't going to preach here. 13 says, in the king's house, you don't talk that kind of stuff. In the king's house, you don't tell folk, thou shalt not steal. In the king's house, you don't tell folk, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the king's house, you don't tell folk, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the king's house, you don't tell folk, thou shalt tithe. In the king's house, this is the king's house. But what they don't understand, what this pathetic prophet doesn't understand, is that Amos is on mission not for a king, but for the king. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if they put me out of this classroom, Church Park's got a classroom waiting for me. The streets of 78 got a classroom for me. But I can hear him sneak. You can't do that. Because, yeah, this is resurrection. You know, we got to keep an understanding. You know, we don't want to talk that way, you know, to our folk. You know, our folk are good tithers. They're good givers. What they're doing is paying their way to hell. Because the truth is not being told. And the church is complicit in it. Yes, we stand by. Listen to the average. Do you realize there are churches that call themselves Protestant churches that the name of Jesus is never declared in that church in this country? And we're just sitting around pity-patting. Let me tell you one thing. And the reason is because of prophets. Professional prophets. Folk, and you know what? They're not prophets. You know what they are, Nikita? They're puppets. You know why? You know, puppets? Two words, pup and pets. Pup, not fully mature. No, nobody's got the spiritual maturation anymore to preach what thus says the Lord. And pets, because, you know, pets will lick you, but you have to take care of them. I told you it wasn't going to be pretty. And you can see it throughout the fiber of the society. The same sort of mentality. Immature people leading the country. Immature people leading the church. And the church sitting back silently, applauding. Puppets. And you know a puppet has got somebody's hand so full up them, they can't do nothing. They can't even move unless you pull strings. And so our churches used to be hospitals for the sick and mortally wounded, and now they become theaters of performing arts. I ain't afraid of y'all. Amos shows that there are going to be obstacles. There are going to be people that will personally attack you. There will be people that will misrepresent you. And there are people will actually try to entice you through sensible temptation and diversion to stop what you're doing. Don't do it here. You gotta do exactly like Amos did. Oh, verse 14 is a very. Did I say verse 14 was a very powerful piece of scripture? I'm gonna say it one more time. Verse 14 is a very, because
What Amos does is Amos shows us, Linda, what you tell these professional priests when they come to you about your credentials, when they come to you about your anointing, when they come to you about your ministry. I wouldn't do that way. Why they always got to have him up there doing that? Well, why does she teach this and they do that? Here's what Amos says you tell them.
And then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I am no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit.
He says, pull up, Reverend Ike. Let me tell you something. He says, first of all, I was quite content out there herding sheep and gathering fruit. I was minding my own business. I was in my good gospel group. I'm telling you, I'm not a professional prophet. But you know what? And matter of fact, my daddy wasn't a prophet. I'm just a sheep herder who the Lord one day touched and said, go and prophesy for me. I'm not a professional credential prophet, but I've been prophetically called. Yeah. I ain't got no credentials. I mean, you ain't gonna fall out about my credentials. I'd find 10 people in this room that got better credentials than me. But guess what? I've got a prophetic calling. And he says, Mr. Amaziah, let me tell you one thing. You may be slick, and you may be credential, and you got letters, PhD, OOD, DDD. He said, but the first thing that I notice is that you can have a PhD and no G-O-D, and you just what I thought you were, a smart devil. I ain't got all that. But I do have a calling from the Lord. Oh, yeah, you'll find better. Oh, man, walk down the hall, find better Sunday school teachers. But have you been called? And I'm not about comparing and competing. I'm just a country boy from the coastal plains of North Carolina who matriculated in some school, went in the Air Force, blah, 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 blah. But God told me I was going to do this. That's what I've been doing this only. Y'all been thinking I'm doing this because I wanted to? I was perfectly content to be sitting back there on the third row in the intermediate class in Sunday school, coming every Sunday, not having to prepare, doing my own thing. I don't have to deal with you messy folk, your personalities, your psychophanical tendencies. But God says, go and tell my people because you've got the personality I want. Yeah, don't worry about your overalls. Don't worry about your sandals. Don't have to be smooth and suave like those guys. Just go there and give them the word because if they get the right word, they'll be all right. And the issue, Gary, is that we're not getting a right word now. And I'll tell you why. We teach a gospel now that does not turn our world upside down. So we can't turn it right side up. If you can't turn it upside down, if the gospel can't rock your world, if you can't look at the gospel and see that, oh, it's me. I'm the one with the filthy mouth. Oh, it's me. I'm the one with the bad habits. Oh, it's me that don't have any love. It's me that don't forgive. It's me that don't commit. It's me that don't give. If you don't have a gospel that's doing that, a gospel that's convicting and convincing, what you've got is a good Sunday school speech, a good Easter speech on Sunday morning. Makes you feel good, but it doesn't make you good. And so, he gets them straight. And that's how you do it.
You tell them, no, I don't have no professional credentials, but I do have a prophetic calling. I ain't hanging around with you boys, you know, so y'all can play your little jokes and see who knows the most Hebrew and Greek and who can get hooked up. Ain't about comparing and competing. Can do it. I choose not to do it. I'm like Paul. I determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Y'all want to talk about all that mystical pie in the sky, buy stuff? I want to know two things. Did Jesus die and did He get up? The answer to that is yes. Glory, hallelujah. Let's shout on the next one. Because that is the gospel. Oh, but then in verse 15 we see something. And the Lord looked at me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto the people of Israel. You guys are out there trying to buy your degrees online. Tiff, that's what they were doing. They were out there. Oh, I'll beat old Sneed over here. I'll get this degree here. I'll add another degree. And the Lord said, you go on over there and prophesy. While they are getting ready, I want you to go and do it. Because you're the one. You've been called. You've got to do it. And that's what you got to tell folk, that I don't have, may not have the credentials that you guys would like me to have, but I got the authority of God's word. Amen. And that overrules everything. God's authority. Verse 15 says, 16 rather, says,
now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord, thou sayest prophesy, not against Israel, and not thy word against the house of Isaac.
This is my word. You got to do it. Don't drop it on one group of people and not drop it on the other. The gospel is an equal opportunity employer. it's for everybody. Nobody special. So you think if I was teaching a preacher's class that I'd be any different?
No.
If I was teaching beginners, it wouldn't be no different. You've got to tell what thus says the Lord, because you know the messenger will be attacked. The message is very difficult to attack. They know. Those people that get up there, matter of fact, I had a conversation before class started. About folk want to come and they want to challenge the word of God, what's the word of God and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't even entertain that anymore. They call me snooty for it, sis. It's weird, you know, because he won't discuss nothing like that. Why should I? I'm going to waste my time debating what God said. Right. Here God is divine intellect. Here you are no intellect. And I'm going to debate you? Come on. Everything I need to know is in this book. I'm not going to Oprah Winfrey to find out how to treat my neighbor. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to Dr. Field. I can't do it. I got the word of God. Everything I need. If I want to know how to raise my children, it's in the word of God. If I want to know how to treat my wife, it's in the word of God. If I know how to treat my neighbor, it's in the word of God. If I know I'm supposed to know how to work on my job, I go to the word of God. It's all right there. What else do I need? If I know how to get good sleep, I go to the word of God. Where else would I go? Why do I need psychiatrists and Dr. Phil and Oprah and all of them are telling me to do the things that God has already said. And all I got to do is read it and then do what thus it says. God's word authenticates all the gospel messages. You may not like it. I may not like it. But last week I found out that you taste the word of God. And you'll find out that it is good. Oh, taste and see. Try it sometime. Stop being politically expedient.
Stop being somebody's puppet. What you can say. Oh, well, we don't want to offend all the folk who are hair challenged. Offend me? Wrong is wrong. Right is right if nobody agrees with you. And wrong is wrong if everybody agrees with you. You can never go wrong with the Word of God. Verse 14 tells us, here's how you can stand in the face of all that opposition. 14 tells you, you're going to have the opposition, but here's how you can stand. Verse 14, 17. That stuff that y'all like so much, those families that you admire more than God,
watch out.
God says he's going to destroy all of them. That's what you do. You stand boldly and you tell them what thus says the Lord. Meet all the resistance in the world. Stand firm. Everybody in the church talking about you, stand firm. Because he was obviously in a church where they didn't want to hear the word of God. They only wanted compromise. They wanted to hear the word of God chopped up just the way they wanted. They wanted to have it their way. And if you don't give it to me my way, I don't want it. I don't need it. Even though it's good for you. That's what bothers me, Colonel. That bothers me. Something is good for you, you will reject that just because you don't like the package that it's in. We get all hung up about preachers and the messenger and all that, who's preaching and who's not preaching. What do you gotta say? Now, let me tell you something. You gotta have something to say in order to get in here and stay. I'll say that again. You gotta have something to say. Because if you come here of your own volition, it's your own words, you're soon gonna be found out. Because you will find that you are very limited. But there is a wealth of knowledge in the Word of God. Every time you read the Word of God, you're gonna find something new in it. Y'all are looking at Amos today, and you say, man, I didn't realize all that. And I thought Amos just over in chapter 5, 24 said, let justice roll down like a mighty river. Yeah, didn't Martin Luther King say that? Yeah, Amos said it first. Duh. But that Martin Luther's a great guy. So was Amos. We got to start listening to the word and not be so concerned about the messengers. Because God is responsible for the messengers and the word. But here's what you want to say. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If it ain't coming from the right person, I don't want to eat at everybody's table. Yeah, you know, that's really spiritual. That's really spiritual. Isn't that sweet? But you know what? Every week, the Word of God is being served up by men, by women, by youth that you've never met. Some of the greatest preachers that ever mounted a pulpit are preaching every week, and you don't even know them. You think you're the only people getting saved are at Resurrection Baptist Church? In 34 years, they added it up. What was 8,000 baptisms, 2,600? That's all the people that's ever been saved in. It's all going here. And so we can't come here bourgeois and all that. And I've had the
the discussion with folk. You let them get over there in that pulpit, you don't have to worry about them. Because the folk that ain't got nothing to say, they won't be back. Resurrection has that reputation. I remember folk, well-known preachers right here in the city, they were so intimidated when they first came here because they all the stuff that they heard, oh, those people over there, you know, they studied the word. Oh, I can't get up there and throw one leg on the pulpit, holler, you know, do a Brockovala, said he got up, and because you ain't done nothing for me then. I'm already saved. Tell me how to live a little bit more saved in something that I can relate to. But if it's from God, there are many men that have stopped by here on that pulpit and pointed right to us and said, Resurrection, you will never be the church you were last year because now you are 12 years old. And 12 years, you need to be this. There are many preachers that have stood in that pulpit and said, yeah, you know what? You're going to be a church that is going to be more caring than you ever thought you would ever be. Oh, we can't do that. We just 123 people. Don't worry about where you are now. You worry that you're receiving the word of God and that you are executing your call to perfection. Don't worry about the obstacles because there will be obstacles. Y'all think that, oh man, these guys got it. Deacon Newsom got it so easy, you know, no obstacles doing his ministry. You know, Sister Harris over there in Greeters, she's got it so easy. And I wish I had the trustees like they had. It's so easy. Their job is so easy. Let me tell you, every day you're going to get resistance from people when you're doing God's work, what God has called you to do. They'll lie on you, just like they did Amos. If they lied on Amos, he's a prophet, y'all. He was a stone verified prophet. And they lied on him. Who are you? The thing about it, always address the lie. So I'm going to tell you, some of you, you know who you are. If you just say, Deacon Sneed, forgive me now, it's forgotten. Otherwise, I'm going to come and confront you. And say, why did you lie on me? Just like Amos did. Don't lie. Because it's better just not to say nothing.
Amen.
When the people get in their little groups and backbiting Terry, you know what you're telling Terry? Yeah, okay. Yeah. It ain't been my experience. And it's not because he's so good, but because you believe that he's executing the call that God has given. Stop measuring folk by the wrong measurement. Right before the printed text, Jim, was one of the greatest sermons. All the old preachers preached it. Matter of fact, C.D. Peterson preached it here several years ago about the plumb line. The issue is God was in control of the plumb line. God does the measuring. God doesn't look at Jim and look at TJ and say, well, let me compare these two. He doesn't. God only looks at us one way, through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
God doesn't even see you. God doesn't even see you. Because you are a sinner marked by the stain of sin that Jesus washed over. So every time you do something, the only way God can deal with you is to look at his son, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why Amos appeals to so many of us. Because a lot of us think that, you know, well, we can't run with the big boys. You know, we didn't go to seminary. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. You know, we just farmer with overalls, you know. But guess what? We started this chapter. God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things. He just wants the person that's faithful. The only reason you see all the wealth of success in ministry, look at the people who are heading those ministries and you'll find them one thing. They'll have it all in common. They're faithful. They do what the Lord say do, despite the adversity, despite the obstacles. They understand that there's going to be an obstacle. They understand there's going to be resistance. They understand there's going to be personal attacks. But Amos reminds me of Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus didn't have nothing either. He was born in the backside of a barn. He didn't go to no seminary. But yet when he taught our Sunday school class, they were climbing off the walls. They had people literally run up on top of a house and tear the roof off to get to Jesus. He didn't have no degree. But he had one thing on his side. He had the Word. Because he is the Word.